Dan Cathgimmel, Ahmed Betts, 23B, bottom of the page. Laws of witnesses and judges. When can you disqualify a witness? And we're now going back also to the case of a judge as well. We're now going to look at a third possible interpretation of our Mishnah. Remember that our Mishnah said three rules. First three rules of the Mishnah. First rule, how do you pick the court?
One litigant picks one judge, and then the other litigant picks the second judge, and either they pick a third judge or the judges that they picked pick a third judge.
Right. So one picks one picks the other, and the two judges themselves pick the third. But the argument that came down to at the end of the day, after we went through all the, was that they both agree that the judges pick, but Rav Meir says that the litigants have to agree with the judges' pick. That was rule one. Then we have rule two and three. And rule two and three is where we're stuck on. We're not stuck on where we're analysing further. Rule two and three were like this. Rule two said, this one can disqualify that judge, this one can disqualify that judge, according to Rabbi Meir. Chachamim said no, only if they're found to be pasul or relatives. What does that mean? So we looked at the explanations over there. We came up with the fact we're talking about an unlearned judge who is thought to be by the masses learned. But he's really not. So Romeo said you can get rid of him. He's not really learned. Chachamim said no. Once the masses have taken him on as an accepted him as a judge, you can't go against the accepted opinion of him as a decent judge, even though he's actually not. That was rule number two of the Mishnah. Rule number three, one litigant can disqualify the other person's witnesses. How can that be? So we saw two answers. Rav Elazar said, talking about the case of, first of all, we saw Reish Lakish, then we threw him out. Reish Lakish, we said, it's speaking about a single witness. A person brings a single witness, you can throw him out. Saying, no, it can't be that, because it says witnesses in the plural. So, Reish Lakish, we're not with you. Instead, remember Rav Elazar, who said that had an opinion, what we're talking about, where the litigant is going against
the father.
The father.
Who is a slave.
Who
is accused to be a slave.
Right, and he's not going against the witness directly, and therefore it's allowed, you're not going against the witness. Fine, I agree, you're not allowed to go against witnesses. Go against his father instead. Turns out that he's able to disqualify the witness by that route, according to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir said, no, you can't do that. Sof, you're going to get to disqualify the witness, even though you've done it in an indirect manner, and therefore I don't allow it, says Rabbi Meir. Option number three, Rabbi Dimi says,
You can disqualify a set of witnesses if you have a second set of witnesses.
According to
Rav Meir.
According to Rav Meir, Achamim say
no.
Why? Why does one say yes and one say no?
Because Rav Meir says you can just simply bring the second set of witnesses. No, I've got that reversed.
Yeah.
Because we only need one set of witnesses.
Who says what?
I'm losing it.
Okay, so let's go.
When you have two second witnesses, you can, the first witness, you can disqualify.
Why?
Because you have the second set.
And Chachamim?
Chachamim say no. And when you say you have to listen to both witnesses, Chachamim, you can.
Chachamim says you don't have
to. You don't have to. You can listen to the first and you need not
to. And you don't need the second, yes, sir. That's the difference, right? Chachamim say you don't need to have, if you've got two sets to bring, you don't need to bring them both.
And Rav Meir says you do.
You do. And because Rav Meir says you do, he knows there's going to be a second set.
So you can disqualify the first set.
Right, but Chachamim can't disqualify the first set because they don't know if there's going to be a second set.
Okay.
So that was Chachamim. So Tov, now we're looking at another opinion. This is opinion number four. On back to the meaning of the Mishnah. Yeah, I missed him out. What do we say about him? I've even forgotten what he said. Yeah, no, that was just to see if it was the same argument. But not for sure to our Mishnah. We're now back to looking at what does our Mishnah mean? We're still not sure. We have another opinion that it doesn't mean like what we said it did. It doesn't mean like Rabbi Elazar, who said, talking about going against the father, who's a slave. And it doesn't mean like Rav Dibi, who says that we're talking about
whether witnesses pasul or relevant.
No, where about Rav Dibi, who says where he got two sets of witnesses. Right? Our two cases so far that we have to explain the Mishnah. Rabbi Elazar explains the Mishnah by saying, when is a litigant allowed to disqualify a witness? When he goes against a father, then he's allowed to disqualify the witness indirectly, but that's what's happening. Rav Dibi says, no, that's not the case the Mishnah is talking about. Mishnah is talking about a case where you're allowed to disqualify witnesses, where there's a second set. That's the case that the Mishnah is talking about, where it says, Machloket Rav Meir Chachamim. One said you can disqualify witnesses, and the other says, no, only if they're passive. So we're still trying to work out what is the case the Mishnah is talking about. These are just options, these are proposals. I have a Mishnah that was written by Rebbe, but it was a Machloket between Rav Meir and Chachamim. 200 years ago, I'm now in the time of the Amorayim. Rish Lakish, Rav Dimi, they're all trying to work out what would that Mishnah mean. So they all came up with different options. Rav Elazar said, no, I think this is what it means. Rav Dibi said, no, it doesn't mean a slave father, it means two sets of witnesses. Right, so now we've got a third opinion. Amorayim, having a different opinion, you're right, but all I've got is the wording of the Mishnah. And with that wording, I can fit in a scenario that fits. Your one might fit, fine, I like it, very nice. It's not what I understand it like that, I understand it differently. So we have a third opinion now. What does this Mishnah mean? So now this third opinion is going to say that we're talking about both judges and witnesses together in one scenario. What do I mean?
Judges
and witnesses. So when we read the Mishnah, we read it as split into two different rules. One rule about judges, and a second rule about witnesses.
Right.
And now you can say the witness and the judge against.
Right, so now he's going to bring them together and say this is the case where you come to disqualify both of them.
At
the same time. Right? You can explain them separately. You can say this part of the Mishnah means about judges, very nice. This part of the Mishnah means about witnesses, very nice. But he's saying no. Let's understand the Mishnah actually when judges and witnesses are being disqualified together. So what's the case? So the case is, someone gets called to court, right? He gets called to court by, you know, Shlomo takes him to court. And I get to court, and I arrive there, and I see, wait a minute, who's on the bench? He's your brother. And who's the witnesses? That's your son and your father as witnesses. Wait a minute, whoa, I'm disqualified the judges and the witnesses together, something like that. I don't know exactly the case, I'm just imagining what it could be like. So it's a case where he wants to disqualify both of them together, the judges and the witnesses. That's the background for this opinion, how to understand our Mishnah. Right, remember, our Mishnah still has a machloket between Rabbi Meir and Chachamim. Right? In both cases, Rabbi Meir and Chachamim argue on the same words in the terms of judges and witnesses. Mm-hmm. Right, they were the identical wording. Rabbi Meir says you can disqualify them. Chachamim says no, only if they're pasul or relatives. So let's learn this sugya now. The reasoning is not clear to me. Right? It's not. Mostly what happens is when you hit a sugya and you learn through it, you try and work it out according to that, your understanding of reality. Right? So when we said that you've got a slave who is father, so you can picture and understand, so I can knock him out and that knocks him out. So it makes sense, Yofi. Two sets, I've got one set. Yofi, makes sense. Here, I haven't managed to work out the sechel about what's going on. Okay, if you could understand what's going on, then please explain, because I'm not yet really understanding what exactly is going on here. Why this is the case. We're going to read it, we'll read it with the Rashi as well, and we'll see if it makes sense to us. If it doesn't make sense, it doesn't make sense.
Well, for a nepotism case, it makes perfect sense.
No, but we're going to see the reasoning of the Gemara as to why you're allowed to disqualify them. We're going to see, it's not so clear. You're going to see, it's not obvious. The other ones are obvious, the other ones make sense. Right? I can understand why you're allowed to do what they were suggesting. This one doesn't, to me, it's not so clear.
Okay,
top of the much more. We're on Kaf Gimel, Amud Bet, bottom of the page, Kiyata Rabin, Hefor Rabin, last few words on the line. Kiyata Rabin. Yeah, Rabin is a Mora. Like Rab Dimi, he also came over from Eretz Yisrael to Babel. So he also had. Rabin. Not Rab, someone. Yeah, yeah. Don't know. Don't know. Okay.
I don't know where they call it.
There's a nice point you can get in an art scroll book. Has all the Amorim and Tanayim and little pieces about them, who they were, where their name came from. And so what's our new sugya say? Kiyata Ravin Amar Rabbi Yochanan. When Ravin came, he said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, the following explanation for our Mishnah. He said like this. He said there's a Reisha and a Sefer. What's Reisha and what's Sefer?
The beginning and the end.
The first and the end. It depends. It means like the first part and the second part. It could be at the beginning or it could be like top. The
so
first.
By itself.
Huh?
Sefer itself. Reisha is the sheet. That color.
Like former, latter?
Yeah,
I always get those things mixed up.
Yeah, first and second. Top and tail. Okay. So the Reisha.
Dalet Amud Bet?
Yeah. So the, what's the Reisha and the Sefer here? So the Reisha and the Sefer here refer to Reisha and Sefer. The Reisha is the rule about judges. The Sefer is the rule about witnesses, apparently. It might be that you can read this entire sugya completely different. But I'm sticking with the old school explanation, which is this. When it says Reisha and Sefer, we're talking about, remember our mission was divided into parts. This was originally rule number two, and this was rule number three. Rule number one was about the court. He picks one judge, he picks other judges. Right? And then we came to disqualifying judges, disqualifying witnesses.
Right.
So, but according to our understanding now, he's going to explain these together. They come together as one explanation, one scenario. But there's a ratio of safer. There's a first part and a second part. But they're both talking about the same thing. What's that case? The case is disqualifying both together. When you want to disqualify both of them together, there's two different rules. One rules in the ratio, one rules in the safer. That's how to understand the issue. overall, we're disqualifying both of them. But we're splitting them out. We're talking about judges first, and then we're talking about witnesses. Only because that's the difference between the cases. Actually, we're disqualifying both judges and witnesses. But the rule comes in the form of telling me about the judges, or it comes in the form of telling me about the witnesses, because that's the difference between the witness and the savior. But in both cases, we're trying to do the same thing. So let's get there. We'll have to review a couple of times to, so that what I just said makes sense. But let's carry on anyway, and you'll see. Is Ratesha. So, in the Reisha was saying, Ba'edim Pasulim, the Dayanim Kasherim. In the Reisha, we're talking about a case where the witnesses are Pasul and the judges are Kosher. Migo, I'm just going to read it and then I'll have to explain it. Migo means sins, but it's a halachic.
So, of course, not for the reason that they can, because of the judge.
Here we don't have a reason. We have, which is why it's not going to make sense so much, I don't think. But that is, it will. But it's not so clear why we can disqualify them at all.
Well, the two basic reasons are: one, they're relatives, or two, they're puzzle.
No, I'm not asking from that question. I'm asking from the other way. What lets me disqualify these people? There's no reason to disqualify them. They're not passive. If they were relatives, or they were whatever.
Passive.
There's no question. Everybody agrees. I need to find an argument between Rabbi Meir and the sages where one says you can, and one says you can't. What is that scenario where one says you can? Because for sure, if they were relatives, everyone's agreeing that you can get rid of them. We have to find a case where there's a machoket, where one says you can in this case, but you can't in the other, and the other one says no, you can't. Yeah.
Well, you would both need, well, going back to the beginning, you would both need two witnesses, right?
Yes, apparently.
Two independent witnesses.
Yes.
And not the litigant.
Correct. Apparently correct. I say apparently because it's not clear in this case number 3 or 4, whichever one. What is the exact scenario that they're trying to get rid of them on? It just says we're disqualifying them. It doesn't say how. Let's assume, unless we're told otherwise, let's assume there has to be two valid witnesses that aren't related. It's not the case one, it's not case two. It's not Rav Elazar. Ah, fantastic. Thank you. I saw it on email.
That's
really great. Thank you.
Thanks.
Can I put this on?
Yeah.
Okay. I got the email. So put it. You want it on your main page? Okay. Thanks.
Tough.
He sends this to me as a PDF, so I put it on.
Yeah. Great. That's really good. Okay. So let's get back into our focus. So what are we saying? We're saying that two other witnesses came along. What's the scenario? The guy arrives in court and he looks at the bench and they're pasul. They must be relatives. They've got to be relatives. According to Achamim, let's say they're relatives. And he looks at his witnesses and he sees they're also pasul.
Namely, the opponent's witnesses.
The opponent's witnesses. Now I'm with the case. Okay. And they are relatives. We'll say they're relatives. It's good. They're relatives. But he still needs to bring two witnesses in order to prove their relatives. Okay, so that's fine. He brought two witnesses along with him. Two witnesses know the family very well, know that that's his brother and that's his uncle and that's his whatever. Uncle might be okay, brothers. He's got lots of brothers. They're two brothers and they're two brothers. Okay, four brothers are sitting there watching him. Two are on the witness table and two. So he wants to disqualify them. Okay, so what happens? So now I'm going to tell you outside. I'm not going to look at the inside because the wording here is not going to, we're not going to understand it from the wording. I'm going to tell you outside, then we'll try and see it in the words. So what happens? So there's two cases. There's two possibilities now about what can happen in court. There's lots of possibilities. The roof could fall in. But there's two halachic options now in terms of the case. And that's the Reisha and the Sefer.
No.
So what are the two? Hold on. No. Go on.
Has a third judge been picked?
Don't care. Not relevant right now. Hold that. we're trying to work out this case. Why? Yes, he has. He's there.
Okay, because that's important. Because if the third judge hasn't been picked, then it's just one judge against the other judge.
No, you need three judges. Otherwise, the case hasn't started. We're still in the coffee shop. If we haven't got three judges,
okay.
We're in a courtroom room, there has to be three judges.
Okay.
Okay. So what's happening? So there's two possibilities now. Right? I come into court and I see brothers on the bench and brothers in the witness stand. Right? Huh?
Judge.
The judge is also pastor, he's a brother, and the witness is also. And I want to get rid of both of them. So here the Gemara is saying there's two possibilities. There's lots of possibilities, but there are two possibilities that the Gemara is going to go with. Either, what's the first case? The first case is like this. The witnesses, he's right. The witnesses were his brothers. They were found to be pasul. You're right, they were relatives. But the judge, the witness, we didn't have a witness statement against him. The witnesses weren't so strong. He looks like his brother to me, but I'm not 100% sure. So the judges, they couldn't convict. They couldn't chuck him out because the evidence wasn't strong enough against the judges. But the evidence was strong enough against the witnesses. Okay, just hold that thought. I'm going to tell you what happens in a minute. Though, just before we get to what happens, the reverse is, the second case is when it happens the other way around. When the judges, 100%, he's his brother, get him out of here. The witnesses, wasn't sure. The witnesses, I claimed against him, but I didn't have enough evidence to show that they were... Right, so they're the two possibilities that the Gemara is running with in terms of the ratio and the sefer. Right, one where the judge is found to be kosher but the witness is not, and one where the witnesses are found to be kosher but the judge is not. They're the two scenarios that our Mishnah is apparently talking about. So what happens? So the Gemara says like this, there's a different result. The ratio and sefer have a different answer. In the case of the ratio, where you find that the witnesses were passel, right, the witnesses were no good, then what happens, you have something called a migo. 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 Let's write down the word migo. Migo is a halachic word. Migo. Migo. In English, there's not really a translation of halachic words. But article uses the word since. It's a bit weak, but it's the best we've got. Since. Me'az.
I think the, as far as I know, minulit migo is mitoch.
No, that's a different thing. There's also mitoch.
What?
Mitoch is similar. There's also a halacha of mitoch.
Like migo, it has few meanings. Me'az, me'az is since, and mitoch.
Mitoch is
from inside.
From inside.
Mm-hmm. It also can be.
It's very similar. It's very similar, but there is a mitoch and there is a migo. It might be that they overlap.
Say that again.
No, we'll just stick it with migo for the moment.
Okay.
The word migo means since.
Whenever it's migo, it's not mitoch.
Don't know. It could. It may be. I learnt it. It's different, but I'm not clear. Classic. This is a migo, but this is not a classic migo. A classic migo is where I believe this is also a migo. We're going to see why it's also a migo. Migo is a case where I believe a witness, even though they can't prove it, because they told me something else. Let me say that again. I believe a witness, even though they can't prove what they're trying to claim, because I believe them on something else. Once they're believed on something else, they're believed in this. For example, a woman comes along and says, I used to be married, but my husband was killed in a war. She's got no proof that her husband was killed in a war. So normally, if she just came with that piece of evidence, my husband was killed in the war, can I get remarried? Right? She wants to get remarried. She's in the Beit Din. She wants to get remarried.
She's a guna.
She's an aguna because she's got no proof her husband died. Right? If you want to get remarried, you're a woman. You need to have proof that your husband's dead. Right? But if she comes to the Beit Din who don't know her, who have no idea whether she was married or not, and she comes and she says, I was married, but my husband died in a war. I believe her, and I let her get remarried. Why? Because she told me information at the beginning she didn't need to tell me. Since she said she was married initially, and if she wanted to lie, she just doesn't say you're married. Why didn't you tell me you're married? You can, you can get married to someone, right? So if she was going to lie and pretend that her husband had died, so she wouldn't have made up the story, she wouldn't have said she was married first. She's just going to lie. It's just easier. Just, you don't have to make it. So the fact that that she gave evidence on one thing which was against her, the fact that she was married, I now believe her when she says that he's dead. That's called amigo. Since you told me that, I now believe you.
It's in this case when the witness comes and says, here is my brother.
Which you told that again?
No, how it is.
And so
come before, he realized this is brother and he said, this is my brother.
We believe him. Why are you talking about amigo? Is a case where we don't have evidence, we can't prove what they want to claim, like that she wants to claim that her husband died. She can't prove it, but she said something else beforehand which gave her amigo, gave her a believability that we now believe her because she told the truth in something that was against her. Like someone comes to court and says, I owe this guy 100 shekels, but I paid him 50. So I believe him, because he doesn't have to say he owed me 100 shekels. No one said that there wasn't any claim. If I come to court with a claim, I'm believed that that's what it was. If I come to court, to another court that doesn't believe, I go to a new town, right, and said I was a zomimim witness in another town and they found me guilty, right, and they told me my punishment was 50 shekels. So I believe, fine, pay the 50 shekels. Might have been more, might have been 100, 200 shekels, but I have no reason to say that I'm liable. Now I've said that I'm liable since I told evidence against myself, which I didn't need to say, and I would have been clean of anything. Now I told it, then I'm believed in giving the new evidence, which I don't have proof for. But only if the first evidence would have been clean. I would have been clean. So that's amigo. That's a halachic term in law for believing someone when there's no evidence. They have amigo, then I can believe them. Amigo has the strength of a hazakah. Meaning by itself, it's no evidence. A hazakah is no evidence either. Hazakah is just what happened 3 times, or you've been there for 3 years, but I've got no evidence it belongs to you. Hazakah is in the where you don't have evidence of something. So too amigo, it has that same type of weight that in the absence of anything else, it's good. But if someone comes along and contradicts you with proof, doesn't matter if you've got amigo or hazakah, whatever you've got, if someone else has got proof. But in a case where you can't prove something, then the court will rely on it in the absence of proof, because it has a value, it has weight. Not as much as proof, but if there's no proof against you, then the court's going to accept it. So amigo can be accepted in that way. Okay? So here, in our case, we have amigo. The Gemara is going to explain to us why this is amigo. One side is going to be amigo, and one side not. We're going to see what were our two cases. He was going against both the witnesses and the judges. And in one situation, turns out the judges were kosher, but the witnesses were passel. But in the other situation, the witnesses were kosher and the judges were passel. But the Gemara is going to say, no, he's got amigo. In one of those cases, because, we're going to see, which one's amigo? The amigo is in the first case. The amigo is, Migo de Pasle Adin Pasle Nami Dini. Since we've got amigo, if it turns out that the witnesses were false, if you can prove that the witnesses were false, even though you can't prove the judges were false, your amigo allows you to disqualify them. Say that again. He's going against both. He's going against
the
judges and the witnesses, right? He wants to claim that they're both no good. Number one, rule number, we've got Resha and Sefa. Resha and Sefa. Right, so the Resha says that the witnesses... Let's do a different color
name. Do you need more markers?
Right, so the Resha says... The Resha says that he goes against them both, right? He says you're pasul and you're pasul. It turns out that he was right here, but he didn't have evidence. I'm putting a question mark. No, he was wrong. He didn't have the evidence to bring against the judges.
Or he didn't have sufficient evidence?
Sufficient evidence. He didn't have enough.
Enough.
Liar, he didn't have enough. For example, so the he brought two witnesses and says, yes, I know those witnesses. I was at school with them. They're your brothers. Right? I know them. The witnesses know them, right? But this witness says, he looks like your dad. I think he is, but I'm not 100% sure. He wasn't, right? So he wasn't sure, but he brought a claim against them.
Okay.
So now, and in the Sefer, he also brought a claim against the judges and the witnesses. But it was the other way around. This time, he definitely had evidence against the judges, but he wasn't sure about the witnesses. Right? I did have two witnesses, those judges for sure, 100%. No good.
Let's say it's in the first case, the Resha.
Yeah.
So he did not have to ensure he is his father.
Yes.
So in the chapter, it isn't your right and your father.
If everyone admits and then they walk, no one's arguing. If someone admits, yeah, you're right to understand. What are you talking about with an argument? Well, you're not admitting. He's lying, he's saying, no, I'm not. We bring two other judges to test it. He doesn't say it's like a new case. I go to the next court and say, I'm sorry, I was sitting in this court and a judge is in it. No. So I walk into the next court and say, I need three judges, you have to come. Right? These guys over here are no good. Three judges sit and say, okay, so what have you got? So here, come guys, tell him. Yeah, he's my brother, he's the brother. Right? So that's so the ratio is that the witnesses they did, they knocked out. But the judge, he wasn't, the judges, it was anything. So what happened? So in this case, we have amigo. But in this case, the Sefer, there's no Amigo.
Why is
there? There's no Amigo. Why not?
Why is there?
Okay, so why is there Amigo here? So the Amigo is like this. The Amigo says, this is the why I said at the beginning, it's not so easy to understand. The Amigo is like this. Because you said the witnesses were false and you were right, we believe you here. We believe you here. But when you told me that the judges were false and you were right in the Sefer, and you weren't sure about the witnesses, we don't believe you here. So the question is why? Why is that? Why do I believe the Amigo here? Why has he got Amigo here, but he doesn't have Amigo here? Why is there Amigo in one and not Amigo in the other? So we'll just stay outside. It's like this. Top. I'm just going to read the text to bring us up to date. So the text says like this. The Gemara says like this. In the Resha, Aidin Pasulim, the Dainin Kishayim. In the Resha, where the witnesses are pasul, but the Dainin, the judges, are found to be kosher. It's Amigo. Amigo de Pasle Aidin, Pasle Nami Dainin. We have Amigo, that since you've disqualified the witnesses, you can also disqualify the judges. But in the Sefer, the Dayanim Pasulim, the judges are found to be Pasul, and the Edim Kasherim, the Edim are found to be kosher, the witnesses are kosher. We're saying there's Amigo in both. I explained it wrong. We're going to argue. We're going to say there is Amigo in both. there is an ego invoker. Gemara is going to say later why the ego invoker should be only ego here and not here. That's the Gemara later. But initially he says, ego, both of them have a ego. Right? But because you believe one, you believe the other. Right? Because you believe here, you believe here. Because this was right. So the Gemara is going to say the ego on both sides. Initially it's going to say the ego on both sides. It's going to say...
So if you disqualify the judge on the second part,
yeah,
you would disqualify the witness?
Yes. Let me explain why. Right? So
on both
cases. So Domingo de Pasle Dianim, since you pastled the judges, you can also pastel the witnesses. So the Pshat is like this. So far we're saying like this. The Gemara is going to argue and say no, one side Domingo and the other. But before then, it's suggesting that you haven't got proof against one side, but you got proof against the other. And you were found to be good. Your witnesses were believed over here. Same witnesses. They believed over here, so we believe you also over here. The question is why? Why you might believe him is not clear to me. But it's based on amigo. Since I believe you're over here, I also believe you're over here. The logic, the sechel of why, is not clear to me. In the first case, what I said about the woman is clear because she didn't have to say it. Right? Pesha asa hu pesha matir. Right? So then it's clear that why that migo works. Because you made the problem for yourself, and now you solved the problem. Right? So it makes sense. But here, it's not clear to me why the migo works, and it doesn't say anything here in the notes. So it just says migo. Right? Rashi also just explains the migo, it doesn't say why. He just says, it's an ego, since you believe one, you believe the other. I don't know why that is. I don't know why you believe him just because you believe one. Right, I believe in you on that, but it's not clear to me how the ego works in this case.
Well, it's easy to replace a judge, but it's difficult to replace witnesses.
Now,
or am I barking at the wrong tree?
You're already on stage two of the Gemara. The Gemara is going to say, you're right, you should have an ego one way and not the other. We're going to come on to that, because you can replace judges, you can't replace witnesses, right? That's a reason for a difference between them. But so far, we're saying, no, both of them are the same. Since you believe one, you believe the other. Since you believe one, you believe the other.
Well, so you're talking about working in both directions.
Yeah, both directions. Currently, where the Gemara is, both directions work.
So what's the conflict?
Why? Why can you walk into court with evidence against judges that's solid 100% and you knock out the judges? And then you come to the witnesses and the evidence you've got against the witnesses is not good enough to disqualify them. But the judge says, you know what, I believed you in the first bit, so I believe you in the second.
Can I stick my foot in my mouth and simply say that,
suggest an answer,
given that the litigant picked the judge?
Yeah.
And also,
the other guy's judge, not his judge.
The other guy's judge.
Yeah.
And also the witnesses.
So witnesses.
Yeah. Witnesses what?
The other guy picked the judge and the witnesses.
Yeah.
So they're combined. There were what's the word?
They're joint.
Yeah.
Connected.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I mean, it's a long shot.
Maybe. There could be something in there. Could be. Because there has to be some connection between the two. Right? Because it doesn't work. I don't think it works. It's like he had two sets of witnesses. And he went against the first set of witnesses and knocked them out. And then the second set came. And it wasn't so good evidence. He said, you know what, we believe you're getting the first one, we'll believe you're getting the second one. Does that make sense? But it has to be some connection, like you're saying.
But we're not talking about two sets of witnesses.
No, we're not. But there's no. The logic says, what's the logic here that allows you to be believed on one against these people, but not believed against these? Or because you believed against these, I believe you also over here. Because in another scenario, you wouldn't be. In another scenario, if there's two defendants on the stand, and I bring witnesses. One of them says, for sure he was there. I saw him definitely wearing a pink shirt on that day. The second guy, I'm not 100% sure if he was there or not. The judge is not going to say, you know what, I believe you on the first one. Let's also kill the second guy too. It's not going to happen. You don't do that. It's not logical. It doesn't make sense. Just because I believe you on one guy, if you haven't got strong enough evidence against the second one, I also believe you against him.
But in this case, you need a witness. You cannot come alone. Right? When you go against the witness, this guy needs a witness too.
Yeah, yeah. You need two other witnesses. Yeah.
So you have to say two. Yeah, yeah. I know. This is father.
Uh-huh.
He's not alone.
Nahon, he's not alone, but
in the case in Malaysia,
yeah,
it's only the number of witnesses to judge all the judge.
Ah, I see. So,
they believe in two. And he's only alone, he can't do nothing.
No, I think we have to say that even that in the first case, when he's going against the judges, he needs to bring two witnesses. Has to be the case. He also needs two witnesses. He needs two witnesses to prove that they're pasul. Because even in the first case of the judges, Hachamim said, if you want to disqualify judges, you need to bring proof. You need to bring two witnesses. You need to bring proof against judges as well. Tov. Yes.
For a pasul judge.
Yeah.
And we're going to cover that later. But I mean, say like he was convicted. Would bringing a star saying he was convicted be?
No, if you had two witnesses with the star, a star by itself still needs the witnesses on the star to prove the witness. You still need two witnesses anyway. Even a star has witnesses.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
I think. Right, you don't believe them afterwards if they're found to be lying. It's kind of that's a mego backwards. Since they lied there, they also believed. It's like a hazakah that they believed, right? Here it's for the positive, which is not normally the case. Tov, well, let's Bezat Hashem review again tomorrow and go further.